Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Monday, June 24th, the first of hopefully three episodes this week. Certainly two, hopefully three. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. I'm Adam Azer. Jamie Eisenberg is always drafting, always be drafting. How many drafts are you doing right now, Jamie?
One.
But yeah, how many have you been doing? And one's a lot right now, I'd say.
I did one last week, and one that is a slow draft that's going on right now.
All right, maybe oversold
both,
a little bit.
Both from the eighth spot in a PPR league.
Right, we're going to talk about that. Different ways to start. I don't like the eighth spot. Not a big fan.
I am doing one of the weirdest drafts I've ever been a part of right now.
Why? Why so weird?
It's a Fantasy Cares Eliminator, and it's an eliminator league to raise money for Scott Fish's Fantasy Cares. And it's 17 teams. And the scoring is different than anything I'd ever played in. And a team is the lowest scoring team is eliminated each week.
That's really cool.
It's really cool. It's maddening, the scoring system and the 17-team deal. But
what's the scoring system?
Like,
what's different?
It's like totally different. You're getting points per receptions and first downs, and they're changing based on the position that you play. And it's also best ball. And this is how weird this league is. My team currently is Lamar Jackson, Marcus Mariota, Ezekiel Elliott, Kenyon Drake, Tyler Boyd, Christian Kirk, and Evan Ingram. I don't have any idea if it's good or bad.
Sounds good for a 17-team league, I'll tell you that. All right, so today we're going to do some of Heath's busts. We're going to go over some stats, read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, update you on our Facebook page, which is awesome. Here are some stats to know for the show. Here's what happened. I knew who I was going to talk about with Heath's bust. One of them is going to be Marlon Mack. And I just kind of feel like if you are going to get a lot of work in a great offense, you're sort of bust-proof. But last year, there were three running backs on top 10 offenses who got 200 carries and finished outside the top 12 at the position. In fact, there were only five running backs on top 10 offenses that got 200 carries last year, and only two of them finished in the top 12. So not a very good rate there. And that brings us to our next stat, which is that last year, Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey were basically tied as the number one running back in PPR. They were the first running backs to be the number one PPR running back on an offense that ranked lower than seventh in scoring since Adrian Peterson in 2012. So last year was a bit of a wacky year. The correlation between great offenses and great fantasy running backs didn't hold as true as it had in years past. What do you think about that? Anything?
I think it's case specific. Who are you referring to?
What do you mean? Who am I referring to?
Which players?
Like, okay, so who didn't?
Who were
make
the
it?
Guys that didn't finish? In
Sony Michel had 200 carries and finished outside the top 20.
This is PPR.
Both, actually. Chris Carson was top 15 but did not make the top 12. Jordan Howard was 20th. Sony Michel was 25th,
okay,
in PPR, 33rd in PPR.
So who do you think had a better year? Forget about how they finished. Who would you say had a better year? Chris Carson or Tariq Cohen? Who feels like they had a better year?
Carson. But yeah, he finished behind Cohen in PPR.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But 2016, there were actually 11 offenses that finished top 10 because there was a tie, okay? So tie at 10th. Of those 11 offenses, we had nine running backs who had 200 carries. All of them were top 12 running backs.
I think part of it is that
I wasn't done.
The teams that are the top 10, I don't care. The top 10 offenses are less likely to have one feature back.
Well, that was maybe the case last year, but it wasn't the 2 years before that. In 2016, all nine running backs who were on top 10 offenses and got 200 carries were top 12 running backs. In 2017, five out of seven who were on top 10 offenses and got 200 carries were top 10 running backs. Last year, only two out of five. So it was just a different year. You know, it was a different year. Interesting. And that's the thing about Marlon Mack. You know, Heat's going to argue that he's a bust in PPR because he doesn't catch the ball. I was going to say, how can you get 200 carries on a top 12 offense, on a top 10 offense, rather, and it's probably going to be closer to top 5, and be a bust? But last year, hey, Marlon Mack had 195 carries, and he was only 19th in non-PPR, 21st in PPR. So I know it's a lot of numbers I gave you there, but I hope that's interesting to people. It wasn't interesting. Heath, where are you going? Are you going on vacation?
Yeah, I'm going to Orlando tomorrow morning.
Disney?
No. I've never been to Disney since I moved down here, and I probably won't ever.
Neither is Jamie.
we'll go to SeaWorld. Some of the group.
What world are you going to see?
Some of the group will go to Universal.
That's good.
Go do some nature stuff, see some breweries.
What do you think? You think that Disney is such a madhouse, you shouldn't go, and like Universal is just this like calm, fun.
Oh, I'm not
experience.
Going to Universal either.
Okay.
We're members at SeaWorld, and they have, in my opinion, from the research I've done, have the best roller coasters, and they have other things to do besides ride roller coasters, and so I like going to SeaWorld.
Jamie's quite the Disney aficionado. If you ever need Disney tips, you ask Jamie. I know I've done that several times. Email of the day at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com is from BG. Love the show. I'm wondering, what do you think about Baker Mayfield's potential this year with the incredible duo of Jarvis Juice Landry and OBJ? We saw them both go over 1,000 yards at LSU. So what is Baker's ADP, and when would you take him, and what is his potential? So three sort of different questions there, but yeah.
Baker. I think you're going to see Baker kind of – if you're all in on Baker Mayfield, you're going to take him probably higher than he should go. Like, you know, I probably say this too much, but I don't want to give away too much of our draft from our upcoming magazine. But I will in this case. Baker was the second quarterback off the board after Patrick Mahomes. So, no, I'm sorry. He's the third quarterback off the board. He was behind Mahomes and behind Watson. I still think he's going to settle in as the fifth quarterback because I just think it's too hard to look at those four guys, Mahomes, Luck, Rodgers, Watson, whatever order you want to put, 2, 3, and 4, because I think Mahomes is clearly going to be one. It's hard to say that somebody's going to be drafted ahead of Baker there, barring some ridiculous preseason performance. Cam, maybe the one if he's 100% healthy. I don't think anybody, I know Dave hasn't ranked this way, and this isn't a shot at his rankings, but I don't think anybody's going to take Matt Ryan over Baker, because Ryan, I think, is someone that you still sort of settle for. Russell Wilson, I think you settle for. Roethlisberger, I don't think anybody's going to take him over. But, you know, I think just Baker's going to kind of slide in as that fifth guy. And, you know, I'll say again, if your league takes quarterbacks early, he'll probably go, what would you say, Heath? Third, fourth round? If you see a lot of quarterbacks come off the board?
Yeah.
Fifth round maybe at the latest?
Yeah, I think so.
And if your league kind of waits on quarterbacks, it'll probably be that 7-8 range.
Well, I'll look at fantasyfootballcalculator.com and the ADP for Baker Mayfield. He is 62nd overall.
That's fifth round, sixth round.
That's the very beginning of the sixth round, and it's hard for me to see. So Watson goes before him, Rodgers, Luck, Mahomes. So he's five.
I mean, as far as what his potential is, it's not too far off what Mahomes did last year. I mean, if everything clicked and went perfectly, he could just go absolutely bananas. I'm getting a little bit nervous.
You're saying 5,050?
I said almost. As much upside as anyone not named Mahomes. And I think like you could just see a monster season. But I'm a little nervous. There's a lot of personalities there.
Including his.
I'm also a little worried about the line.
I'm more worried about them running the ball a lot.
They took some hits there.
Yeah, I like him fifth, but I don't like him second. But
agreed. I think, again, it's just, you know, if you're so in on Mayfield, you're gonna. It's like any player will tell you, if you're so gung ho on taking somebody, you take them. I do feel like, you know, and we should probably spend some time at some point before the drafts start get going, like the guys that everybody seems to like, that probably have the most bust potential, and he's probably the quarterback of that group.
That's a fun little list. By the way, if you are curious about our projections process, how does Heath in particular and our new staff member, Ben Gretsch, go about doing their projections next week, right, Heath? Next week?
Next week.
Wow, July's really sneaking up on us. Next week is projections week. They're basically going to do projections on the air, and I'm going to be there to sort of question them, pick it apart a little bit. But, you know, we did the top 150 week, sleepers, breakouts, busts. We're going to do some projections. We haven't done it. So here's a team. Here's what we're thinking. Here's, you know, amount of carries, catches, whatnot. So that's next week. All right. Let's move on. Just a few quick news and notes. Sony Michel is progressing quickly from arthroscopic knee surgery, according to Mike Giardi of NFL Network. And Michel is on Heath's bus list, so we will talk about him. Kansas City believes Tyreek Hill could be suspended as soon as next month, which is
I believe there's a possibility we're going to have something to talk about with Tyreek Hill on the show today.
Today?
I think it's possible.
Okay.
Not necessarily news about the suspension, but I think we may have some other news to react to.
I don't know what you're... All right. All right, I guess I'll be surprised. Tariq Cohen told SiriusXM that he thinks his role will be the same as last year's. He doesn't see it expanding, right?
Right.
It's hard to expect it to expand.
Yeah.
My waistline expands.
Fatball season.
Oh, yeah, it's coming. Faster than furious.
Matthew, well, that like it's now's the time where you have to lose the weight, Jamie.
I'm trying, trust me. I'm not like Heath. I saw Heath running down the street. I was taking my kids to play baseball. And I see Heath, we live probably, what, 3 miles apart?
Yeah.
Within 5 miles
right.
of each other. And so I'm making a turn onto a major intersection. And there's Heath, all his glorious hair flapping in the wind, running around sweating.
Really?
Sweating like crazy. Yeah. And this, running at 4 p.m. is a bad idea.
It was like a month ago, right? Probably. Yeah. So May. Yeah. And I honk at him. And my kids are like, who are you honking at? What is that? You know, I mean, I have a seven-year-old and 4-year-old. And I said, oh, that's Heath. I work with Heath. And they thought I said Pete. So they're like, oh Pete Frisco, drink.
Did they really?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, they might. That's funny. Okay, so we don't have that many news items. Do we have anything else? Yes. Matthew Stafford played through broken bones in his back last season. I think I mentioned that at the very end of our most recent show. So we'll give him a little bit of a pass. He was obviously playing hurt.
Amari Cooper said he's going to go for 2,000 receiving yards.
Adam Azer said he isn't. So there's
that. I told
you
Dak was going to be awesome.
Yo, so I want to try something this week. I want to try something maybe as a bonus episode, but I really want to do a call-in show. So I'm going to try to make it happen. It's going to be me and Jamie, and I think it's going to have to be all through Skype. So basically, I'd have to line you guys up, whoever wants to be on the show. We obviously won't be able to get to that many. I'll get your Skype name. You're going to have to be around at a certain time, and I'll
and
have to
curse,
Skype you.
You get bonus points.
Why don't we just give them your cell phone number?
It wouldn't work for the – that's not funny one, and it wouldn't work for the show. It has
if
to
we,
all be
if we gave
Skype.
Out your cell phone number, how many calls do you think you would get a week?
Well, I'll tell you – a lot. So I'm going to try to do a call-in show. I think it's going to be really cool. I want to hear from you people because we have our radio show during the fall, Ion Fantasy Football, on CBS Sports Radio, and it's awesome. We get phone calls for 2 hours. I'd like to try to do something like that on this podcast. But join our Facebook group. We can have a little discussion. I posted a topic on Friday, I think. I said, hey, we're going to talk about Heath's bus next week. Two of them are Adam Thielen and Sony Michel. What do you think about that? And we just had like a nice little discussion. People weighed in. I'm still working out how it's going to work. I know people want to do their own posts. I think that probably will happen. I'm new to this, so just give me some time. But please join Fantasy Football today. I'm new to moderating a group. So give us a couple things. Give me some time to figure it out. A few things. Give me some time to figure it out. Go to Fantasy Football Today on Facebook and join the group. I have to approve you. But my goal was to get up to 1,000, and we're at like 1,800 right now. So that is 1,000 by today. We're at 1,800. So now I want to get to like 5,000.
1,800 members or 1,800 notifications I've gotten the last 3 days on the post that you tagged me in?
Both.
Okay.
And we'll see what happens. It'll be fun, and we'll have some chats there and whatnot. And last thing about Facebook is please don't friend request me because I'm not going to accept it.
Deal.
I'm sorry.
Deal.
Yeah. So I had a bad experience with a listener Facebook friending me, and I said yes, and it was really, really foolish of me. All right. Some of Heath's busts. Here we go. There's an article up on the website on cbssports.com/fantasy/football, but Drew Brees. Drew Brees was the number 8 quarterback in fantasy last year. He played only 15 games. He was on pace to be sixth in 4-point and fifth in 6-point per passing touchdown leagues last year if he had played that 16th game. And he's a bust. Let me see Drew Brees where he's going. 74th overall, and that would be QB7. So you have him as a bust.
Yeah, and like we've had the Russell Wilson discussion before as well, and there are similarities between the two arguments. Brees has always been an efficient quarterback. I don't know if people realize how little he threw last year. 489 attempts, and yes, it was just 15 games. But that's his lowest number of pass attempts, even on a per-game basis, since he arrived in New Orleans. And it's kind of part of the game plan. They went down to 536 in 2017. The defense is young and improving and getting better. So how was he so good in fantasy? Well, it was two things. One, we talk about it with Wilson, touchdown rate. He had a 6.5% touchdown rate last year, 5.3 for his career, and like 5.5 in New Orleans. So it's not like he's only been over 6.5 once in his career. The touchdown rate is going to come down. And then the other thing that I just don't think anybody could even argue with, he had 4 rushing touchdowns and he had 5 in 2017, but I just don't buy it. He had 2 the year before that. I would expect he's going to lose probably 12 to 18 points there on rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, he's a bust for me too. I think you look at also, you go back the year before when it was 23 touchdowns. Remember how bad he was? Mm-hmm. And he was saved by his yards. First time in New Orleans under 5,000 yards passing as well. Under 4,000 yards passing, excuse me. So he's clearly a different guy. And can he score 30 touchdowns again? Sure. He did it last year. He's done it, you know, almost on a consistent basis throughout his career. But the attempts coming down is alarming. Now, the pro Drew Brees fantasy player will tell you, well, they got Jared Cook. And yes, Jared Cook is a huge addition. I think losing Max Unger is as big a deficit as the addition of Jared Cook.
What about losing Mark Ingram?
I don't think that's as big a deal because Latavius Murray at this point is basically what Mark Ingram was last year. He's not as talented, obviously, but Ingram with the suspension, coming back, taking some time, he wasn't the same guy he was the year before, clearly. It's not to say that Ingram and Murray are comparable this year, but I think you just look at where Latavius Murray is at this point in his career. I don't think that's a wash. But losing Unger, Brees, because of his size, he is one of the best quarterbacks, maybe you can argue one of the best in history, at climbing the pocket. This is a nerdy football thing to talk about, but when the pressure collapses around you, quarterbacks, the thing they hate the most is pressure up the middle. When they got Max Unger, that was such a huge addition, it really offset the loss of Jimmy Graham because it just gave Brees that comfort of he could step up, make his throws, and not have anybody coming at his legs or, you know, pushing the pocket in front of him. We'll see if that's going to be the case. And so I think, again, the addition of Jared Cook is huge to the receiving core because they haven't had a tight end like this since Jimmy Graham was 2015. But we'll and drink, Adam. Pete Prisco was in New Orleans. He said Tre'Quan Smith looked awesome.
Yeah.
They're getting Ted Ginn back healthy. So you have Smith a year older, Ginn back healthy, Cook, huge addition, and Michael Thomas is and Alvin Kamara, arguably two of the best at what they do. So there's a lot to like about the Saints offense, but that doesn't mean you have to take Drew Brees as a top 5 or even top 10 quarterback. I think there are just some guys that might be a little bit better than this year. Plus he's 40. I mean, you know, the not everybody's going to be what Brees and Brady have done for the last couple of years, older quarterbacks that still produce at a high level. At some point they're going to hit the wall, and this could happen for Brees this year.
Well, I think Drew Brees, you know, it's 2 years in a row. If he had played that 16th game at the same pace, 2 years in a row where he would have been around 530 pass attempts, and that's just not a lot. But you know he is going to be very efficient. But I guess what's more important to you, the pass attempts or the fact that they have a top offense in the NFL every single year? You know, I mean, don't points matter more than pass attempts? Because one way or another, like, they're going to score points. They've been a top 4 offense 3 years in a row.
I think points matter more than pass attempts, but with 50 more pass attempts and one extra game, he was the number 11 quarterback the year before on a very good offense.
But that's because he had 23 touchdown passes, which we were like, that's ridiculous. He's a sleeper because that rate is super
low. Where do you think he settles? 28? Given the attempts and kind of where he is?
That's
with one or two rushing touchdowns?
Sounds fair. 30-ish.
I think he's still a number one guy. The biggest thing I have with Breeze is drafting him as the seventh best quarterback.
Yeah, that's
my
me.
Biggest concern.
I'm not sure he's the number one guy, because if you say 28, that's 24 fantasy points. If you take away two rushing touchdowns, you're down to 36 fantasy points, and that's not really a number one quarterback.
I don't think he's going to be below 4,000 yards, though. I think that was a little bit.
Yeah, he missed the game. He didn't play week 17.
Yeah, I think that'll come up a little bit.
Okay. And also, you got to factor in what Jared Cook brings. I mean, he's clearly an upgrade over Ben Watson and Kobe Fleener and what that terrible situation has been. The other part is their schedule's not easy.
Wait,
they're going to face a better Falcons defense.
But because I did want to talk about the schedule, this is the thing that makes me hard for me to quit Drew Brees. The guy has so many huge, like, week winning games. You know, he had six games with more than 30 fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues, and he has three primetime home games, Monday night or Sunday night.
Oh,
that's so exciting.
I think you still have great potential to trust Drew Brees as a number one quarterback.
Yeah.
Because of scenarios like that.
Right.
But it's don't just, take him seventh.
No. Okay. All right. Then we got two running backs I want to talk about, Sony Michel and Marlon Mack. And really, you know, it's a philosophy for you, Heath, of guys in PPR leagues, running backs who don't catch passes make you a little nervous, right?
I think you could make almost the exact same argument for both backs, and it is a PPR argument.
Ooh, PPR argument.
A PP argument.
Yes.
No. Yes. No, a PPR argument. We're not going to strike that from the record.
We're having a PPing contest right now. Yeah,
they do not catch passes.
Would
they
you have do that standing or sitting?
Other backs in their backfield that are going to handle that part of the game, and they have serious injury and durability concerns. The other thing that Mac has that I don't think Michelle will have is the Colts can be a very pass-heavy team. They were, I think, most pass-heavy offense in the NFL last year. I expect the Patriots are going to run the ball plenty, but there are just so many running backs there that I don't know. Michelle will have a four-week stretch, I'm sure, where he's awesome in fantasy. I don't want to trust it for the entire season.
Well, if we look at Mac first, running back 13 in the Fantasy Pros consensus rankings, 26th overall. That's much higher than I've seen him go in our drafts. That's like nearly a round higher, I'd say. And
in this draft that I'm currently in, he went in the end of the second round.
End of the second round. Top 24 pick?
Yeah, I like Marlon Mack. I think Marlon Mack's going to have a great season, but I wouldn't take him that soon.
Was this your draft PPR or no?
Yep.
I do think his best case scenario is first round. Do you think so, Heath?
I don't think his best case scenario is first round in PPR.
Jamie, what do you think his best case is, Marlon?
Yeah, I think that would take just a miraculous season from him, and probably Nyheim Hines getting hurt. I do think he can catch the ball. I just don't understand how they don't use him more in that regard. Look, he was very good for a stretch last season, but I think he falls short of being a first round talent. The talent around him can propel him to be that way, but I just don't think he has that ceiling if everybody's healthy.
Yeah, it's top five offense probably, best offensive line in football arguably. It's exciting.
Best quarterback arguably.
Yeah, everything is good for him. Does Jordan Wilkins get a bigger role? You know, does Marlon Mack get 220 carries?
If he plays 16 games, I think he probably gets 200.
Oh, well, yeah, he had 195 in 13 games.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, 220 should be easy for him if he plays 16 games. I don't worry about Wilkins. It's the combo of Wilkins and Ware, because one of those guys isn't going to make the team.
Sure.
It'd be a surprise if it's Wilkins not making the team, but.
Okay.
You know, it's and Nyheim Hines talking about getting 1,000 total yards. Maybe he could do that, you know, in a lesser Tariq Cohen type of role. But again, the thing you're banking on is so many scoring opportunities for this team.
So where would you be comfortable taking Marlon Mack?
Third round for me. You say his ADP is 26?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the right range for me.
Heath?
I'd rather take him in the fourth, which means I'm not going to get him in PPR.
All right, then what about Sony Michel?
I mean, it's basically the same argument, except worse.
Wait, what makes Mack better than Michel? Because they both are going to be on similar offense. I mean, the Patriots and the Colts are going to score a similar amount of points, most likely. Michel had 209 carries in 13 games. Mack had 195 in 13 games. Neither of them was involved in the passing game.
The Colts did not draft a running back in the third round.
Right. I'm not arguing. I'm just asking.
The Colts don't worry me about. I mean, we had that stretch where Michelle was awesome and scored like one touchdown in a month because James Devlin became the vulture. I'm more concerned about if both guys stay healthy. I don't see a way that Mac's not going to at least be the starter the whole year. I think there's a chance that Sony Michelle could not be the starter for 4 weeks or not score touchdowns for 4 weeks with no fault of his own.
It could be, you know, look, we know what the Patriots are. They've been in the last two Super Bowls. They're playing for, you know, January and February. They're not worried about September and October. They could put Michelle on the pup list.
What? He's had arthroscopic knee surgery.
I'm not saying they're going to. But they could. They have three very capable running backs that can handle the workload to make sure that his knee is 100%. And you heard what Ben Volen told us. Patriots beat reporter for the Boston Globe, for anybody who missed it. He said he could see Damien Harris getting the goal line opportunities, being the better of the two running backs from a fantasy perspective. I mean, it's not a stretch.
No, yeah.
And that's the concern. Now, I do like the fact that Michelle's ADP has fallen to the fifth round. So that's a more realistic range of where you're going to get him. And I think that's good value for him. Like, you know, the draft I won't talk about, but I continue to talk about. So as a non-PPR, like Heath took Michelle in the fourth round. And we do this Q&A as part of our draft. And, you know, that was one of the questions I asked Heath. And your answer was, I think, apropos. In your mind, the fourth round in non-PPR was too far for somebody of his ceiling
right.
to let fall that far. Now, if he's right, not you, his knee, if Michelle's knee is 100% or close to it, or at least what it was last year, could be a steal. You know, that's a guy that could be a first round. I mean, I remember when I did my rankings at the end of the offseason, he was back into the second round for me. Mm-hmm. You know, thinking, okay, he just came off a postseason run with six touchdowns and 330-plus yards rushing. He was a star.
Right. Yep, they certainly relied on him.
I think the better comp for him is what Derrick Henry is. Like, if you're buying into Derrick Henry, this is the same guy.
All right, we got three wide receivers to talk about on Heat's bus list, including a guy who's, you know, basically been the best wide receiver in football for half a decade. So when we come back, Adam Thielen, Antonio Brown, and Alshon Jeffrey, all of their names start with A, so does mine. That's really cool. We'll be right back.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Continuing our bus conversation, but we do have a news alert that's not really news at all. Heath teased that we might get some Tyreek Hill news while we were on the show, while we were on the air. And we don't really have much, right?
Yeah, Kevin Keatsman reporting that Tyreek Hill will meet with multiple league officials in Kansas City this week with his legal representation there. It might be a sign that in the next couple of weeks we might actually get some information. I mean, the scariest thing of the Tyreek Hill situation for our fantasy players is that we get to draft season and he's just sitting in the same position he is right now.
I don't think that'll be the case.
I don't think it will be, but there was a little bit of talk that until the DCF investigation was over, the league wasn't going to act.
Yeah, I mean, we've been going on the assumption of a 6-game suspension. Sounds like it could probably be 8 games.
8 games? Why is that? That's new.
Well, if you're just making the comparison of, you know, code of conduct, that's what Kareem Hunt got.
Okay.
Now, obviously, Hunt, there was video associated with it. You know, I don't think it's worth discussing until we know, but
sure.
Right.
You know, our speculation right now is, as giving fantasy advice, which is so right. horrible to even associate with this situation, but 6 games is what we're anticipating.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Adam Thielen, Antonio Brown, and Alshon Jeffrey. These guys are on Heath's bus list. And Jamie, if there's one that you disagree with between Adam Thielen, Antonio Brown, and Alshon Jeffrey as a bust, who would it be?
Oh, I agree with all three. They're three busts for me as well. But I think Thielen is the one that you can probably feel the safest with, just given where he's probably going to get drafted. You know, now I did see, I think a fantasy football calculator has him going like the 10th receiver, which is, to me, way too soon in PPR. And I understand why. You know, he was so special for the first, 9 games last season? 9 games in a row with 100 yards?
I think he was the number one receiver in fantasy through like week 10 or 11.
Yeah, he was awesome. But, you know, things are changing in Minnesota, at least if Mike Zimmer gets his way. You know, Brown, if you get him at the back end of round two, Brown, and I say this as having him as a bust, you get him at the back end of round two, early round three, it's hard to say that that's a bad pick.
Is that a bad pick, Heath, for Antonio Brown, around 24th overall?
If you could get him at the back end of round two or early round three, I think that's fine. I don't really expect that's where you're going to get him.
I think his ADP is like 17th.
That's too soon for me.
Yeah.
So would you guys take Kelsey or Brown?
Kelsey.
Kelsey.
So you don't consider Brown to be part of the elite tier with Beckham and Michael Thomas and Julio Jones, et cetera?
No.
No, I think he's in the top of that second group.
All right, why? Last year he was number three, wide receiver three. The year before he was wide receiver two, and he's number one in PPR. In fact, 2014, 15, 16, and 17, he was the number one wide receiver in PPR. How about that?
Oh, I mean, he's been exceptional.
Right. So why?
I don't know, Adam, if you paid attention or not, but there's a little change with Antonio Brown.
He doesn't play for the Steelers anymore.
What? Antonio Brown was on the Steelers? No, obviously I get it. I'm asking why so we can tell people why, not because I need
to
be convinced.
It's the change. I mean, you're losing Roethlisberger. You're losing that offensive line. You're losing that run game. You're losing the play caller. You're losing everything that goes associated with it.
I feel like they could have a good offensive line in Oakland.
They could, but I don't think it'll be as good as what Pittsburgh's
hard to project. Like, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what he's going to be like on Oakland.
Here's a couple of things. One, I feel relatively confident. I don't know for sure about the offensive line. It might be good. I feel relatively confident Derek Carr is not going to be as good as Ben Roethlisberger. I don't really know that Brown's going to get quite the number of targets that he did in Pittsburgh, partly because I don't expect the Raiders to be able to run as many plays as the Steelers did, because I don't think their offense will be as good. I don't think he's going to have the double-digit touchdown year like he has for the last five seasons, partly for the same reason that I just discussed the first two. And then the final thing is, he's 31 years old, and I still think he's awesome. But he did last year post his lowest yards per target, 7.7 yards per target, or if you want to look at yards per reception, 12.5 combined with a 62% catch rate. Not very good considering where he's been over his career. It's about a full yard lower than where he's been over his career. And that's a little bit scary too.
He's also never caught a touchdown from anybody not named Roethlisberger.
Doesn't even know how.
He doesn't. Yeah, he's a tough one. I don't know that he deserves to go ahead of like AJ Green, Keenan Allen.
And that's a fair argument. You know, I think that's the thing though with him. It's five spots, seven spots. Like, that's what we're arguing here. I think if you get him 22, 23, 24, 25, it's good value. 17 feels a little bit of a reach.
The thing is, like, those guys going between 17 and 25, I feel a lot better making the pick at 17 than I do at 25.
Yeah.
You're just like, I would much rather have Keenan Allen in both formats. I'll take AJ Green and non-PPR. I still think I'm going to take Brown in PPR, but it's close. I think you could make an argument for most of the guys in that tier over him, just based on what Carr's going to be. I think Cooks is interesting. Hilton's interesting.
Cooks. That is interesting. I don't know that anybody's taking Brandon Cooks over Antonio Brown.
No, nobody is. But again, it's just a matter of, would it shock you if the number one receiver arguably the number one receiver for the Rams is better than the number one receiver for the Raiders?
No, especially since Brandon Cooks is like a top 12, top 15 wide receiver every year. He has been every year, top 15 in PPR, top 14 in non-PPR. Okay, and then let's talk about Alshon Jeffrey, who Heath just hates. I think that's basically what it is. You just hate Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, mostly. Well, and the Eagles and all of their fans and the city. No.
Their fans are not as good as the St. Louis Cardinals fans.
We're not going to do that here. The thing that worries me about Alshon, and actually he was awesome last year when they threw him the football. His 70% catch rate was by far the best of his career, highest yards per target of his career. He didn't have the weird touchdown year he did in 2017, and he missed three games, but he was still very good when they threw him the ball. He's averaged like 6.5 targets per game in Philadelphia. That's not somebody you want to start in fantasy.
Yeah, you're right. So where does he... Well, no, that's not... But he has produced as someone who has been someone you want to start in fantasy. Like, isn't that more important than what he's actually done?
I'm going on what I think is more predictive for what he's going to do.
I mean, at some point, it's like he did it. He's done it 2 years in a row where despite low targets, Alshon Jeffrey's still been very good.
Let's be a little bit like we've gone 4 years in a row where he's had between 789 and 843 receiving yards.
He misses time every year.
Between 52 and 65 catches.
And he misses time every
year. He did not miss any time in 2017. He played 16 games.
Yeah, but he took some snaps off.
No one in football does that.
Yeah, so he was a top 20 wide receiver. But he's had 2 years with the Eagles, right? He's been a top 20 wide receiver. And I don't know where he finished last year, but he only played 13 games.
I think his ADP is fine. Like, I have him as a bust as well. His ADP is not
Do you guys
horrible.
Have the same bust list, by the way?
It's very probably very similar. It's his consensus ranking that bothers me the most. He's ranked as a top 24 receiver. I don't see that, especially now that you have the expectation, right or wrong, Dallas Goedert's going to take on more work. The addition of Arcega Whiteside, the huge addition of DeSean Jackson. So the targets are going to come. You know, I mean, I know, I think Dave was joking, but that Nelson Agholor's losing 70 targets. The targets are coming from everybody. They're coming from Ertz. They're coming from Agholor. They're taking away Golden Tate's targets, clearly. And so Jeffrey's going to lose some.
He's going to lose some targets?
Yeah.
But he only averaged 6.5 targets. Is that last year?
Now it's six. That's still a decline somewhere. That's maybe a touchdown for the season. Maybe it's 20 catches.
He actually averaged 7.1 last year. 7.1 targets per game.
It has to, you know, unless the Eagles are turning into the Steelers.
What about the argument that he's the best wide receiver on the Eagles? You know,
he is.
Yeah,
I don't care about JJ Arcega-Whiteside.
But it's if you look at Andy Reid's track record, because that's where you have to sort of follow. Reid has never peppered a number one receiver.
And yet they had the number one receiver in fantasy last year at non-PPR.
Well, you can have a great player go off in a great system with a great quarterback.
I just think Jeffrey's probably a better player than maybe some people think. I don't think he's a great player anymore because he's pretty beaten down.
He's never been a guy who can run to the essence of what true number one receivers do. But he's so good with his body and being a physical receiver. It's just a matter of, like last year in the 13 games, I think it was 7 with 11 or more PPR points and 6 with 8 or less. Like, which way does that go?
So he had a bad game against the Vikings. He had a bad game against the Jaguars, right? And then that's to be expected. And then his quarterback got hurt. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he was better with Nick Foles.
Oh, I know what it was. It was the Golden Tate trade. Golden Tate came in and screwed up everything. He had two games of more than 60 yards after the Tate trade, but that was a mid-season trade.
But go back to what you just said, though. You're not concerned about Jackson or Whiteside.
No, I didn't say Jackson. I said I'm not concerned about Whiteside.
Oh, but I mean, am concerned Whiteside about could take Jackson. Away one of his touchdowns.
But he, I mean, like, we could do this all the time with every single receiver.
Of course.
At the end of the day, he's the number one.
That's where it comes
down
to value. And where does the value lie with Alshon Jeffrey? Is he worth drafting as a number two receiver? Like, I feel like Alshon Jeffrey is a better version of Allen Robinson.
Yes.
And Allen Robinson is also being drafted as a number two receiver.
So where are you comfortable taking
him? Or at least being ranked as. I'd rather take Jeffrey as a number three. And I'm perfectly happy taking him as number three.
He's my number 30 receiver right now.
Yeah, that's, I think, a perfect range for him.
I can't do the math. Fantasy football calculator doesn't say, like, which wide receiver he is. I'd need to count. Because I'm curious. Because the Fantasy Pros rankings has Jeffrey 52nd. And on Fantasy Football Calculator, he's going 68th. So 69th. I mean, does that seem more reasonable? 69th overall for Jeffrey?
Yeah, that's the end of the sixth round. That's not bad.
26, 27. 27th wide receiver off the board.
So it's a little high.
Okay. All right, those are Heath's busts. So what happens when Heath gets frustrated, JB? Like when you ask him a question where he's just sort of stumped, like what does he do?
Sighs.
He sighs, right? So today on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast, Heath had, I think, his best sigh ever. I felt compelled to clip it and make it a drop. So,
oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. On the sigh-o-meter, how would we rank this one?
That's a 12.
Yes.
That's pretty good, huh? I remember the question, but it was like,
where
did
you get this audio from?
It was ranking. I asked you to rank three pitchers today while you were taking a piss, apparently. And
I hope that's all he was doing.
Adam was creeping in the bathroom again.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we got to share that little gem with everybody. Jamie, you did a couple drafts at the 8 spot. One of them's still going on right now. And you said, hey, I want to talk about the drafts and the different ways I could go about the 8th pick. So let's talk about this for a few minutes, then we're going to finish with some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. All right, set it up for us.
So one was for another publication, another magazine, and then one is a mock draft that I'm doing for NFL.com. The one for – I'll start with the NFL.com one. We're only through round 6. It's a slow draft. So this was the second of the two, picking from the 8th spot, and I decided purposely to take a different route, even though the same player was available. So I started with DeAndre Hopkins at 8. Somehow Juju Smith-Schuster fell to round 2.
Whoa.
Easy start there. It's a 3-receiver league. Somehow, even more incredibly, Keenan Allen fell to round 3. So right after taking the 2 receivers, I thought, okay, maybe I'll, you know, just go looking at, you know, running backs clearly in the 3rd, 4th round. It was hard to pass up on Keenan Allen, just lock up those 3 receivers. Then round 4, I took David Montgomery. Round 5 was James White. And round 6, I allowed Adam to make my pick for me. We were chatting at the time, and I said, here, you have your choice of, I'll see what you would have done, Heath. Your choice of Tevin Coleman, Tariq Cohen, Lamar Miller, any quarterback not named Mahomes, or Evan Ingram.
And this is not PPR?
PPR.
Let me set it up. It's 12-team PPR. He has Hopkins, Juju, and Keenan Allen. He starts 3 wide receivers. Running backs are David Montgomery and James White. And he's on the clock with his 6th pick, looking at Tevin Coleman, Tariq Cohen, Lamar Miller, any quarterback not named Mahomes, or Evan Ingram.
And you've got how long until it comes back to you?
So basically
long
beginning
time.
Round 6.
Long
so.
Time.
A long time. The reason I ask is because this is the point. Like I lean pretty strong towards Ingram just because I don't think you're going to get Howard, and you might not get Henry.
Howard's gone. Yes.
So you're probably not getting Ingram or Henry then.
Henry is gone also. So
I'm taking Ingram.
You would take Ingram.
I just did not say that. That makes sense though.
No, it was one of the players I considered. I wanted to get just a little bit more running back depth there.
Yeah.
So I took Coleman. I would have taken Cohen. I have Cohen ranked higher, but I didn't want to take both Bears.
Yeah.
So I took Tevin Coleman on Adam's request.
I would have taken Cohen and then said I was doing the friendship strategy.
That's what I said.
Well, yeah, but it's not
so
really.
When I first messaged him, I said I'm leaving Coleman, when I meant to say I'm leaning Coleman, and he goes, oh, so take Cohen and do the friendship strategy. And I said, oh, and I realized what I wrote. And he goes, oh, no, take Coleman. So
you know what I'd like to know, Jamie, actually? You start out with Hopkins and Juju. Mm-hmm. You're a 3-receiver league, and you see Keenan Allen there. But which running backs were there that you took Keenan Allen over?
It's a good question. I do know that I could have had Kenny Golladay where I took Montgomery. So let me get to that for you.
Yeah.
In the 4th round – in the 3rd round where I took Keenan Allen, the running backs available are 3 that I like very much. The next one that went off the board was Josh Jacobs, then Kerryon Johnson, then Aaron Jones. I would have taken Aaron Jones.
I think I probably would have.
So I could have gone Aaron Jones and then Kenny Golladay or Robert Woods.
Yeah, knowing you didn't know that Golladay and Woods would be there, but.
Right. But I also felt like Keenan Allen's a steal.
In PPR?
In the 3rd round.
Yes.
As my 3rd receiver.
Right.
And a starter to starter.
He's my number 6 receiver in PPR.
And to be honest with you, I think James White in the 5th round is like a mega steal.
It could be. I mean, you know, depends on how you view Damien Harris's impact and if everybody's healthy. But yeah, James White was, I was very happy to get James White. I was hoping for it, went one pick in front of me for Kenyon Drake. Now, had I gone Montgomery and Drake, I would have been thrilled on that. And the reason I took Montgomery ahead of Drake, even though I have Drake ranked higher, I always look at these industry drafts on other sites and I lean on what the ADP is because I think, you know, you look at a board sometimes and you don't know how other people are going to draft. So I thought I had a better chance of, because a lot of industry people are high, very high on David Montgomery. And I like him, but I thought that I had a better chance of getting Drake coming back to me in the fifth round, which was, again, one pick away. So we'll see how it unfolds.
So you want to go? So the team is Hopkins, Smith-Schuster, Keenan Allen, David Montgomery, James White, and Tevin Coleman. And
yes. What's so three backs and three receivers.
What's the other squad?
So the other squad, again, from the eighth spot.
Is it also a three receiver league?
Also a three receiver league. Also PPR, same exact scoring, 4 points for passing touchdowns as well. Okay. So I took Melvin Gordon at 8 in this draft.
Ooh.
And then Travis Kelce in the second round.
Ooh.
And I was thrilled at the time I did it. And then I watched where Zach Ertz and George Kittle fell to. And I wanted to vomit because they both fell to the end of the third round.
So they were both there when you picked.
They were both there when I picked again. So seeing that happen, I was like,
ah, man, in PPR, Ertz might still be the right pick. He might outscore everybody else that's available.
In the third round?
Yeah.
Oh, I was shocked.
But wait, but do you have a flex?
Do you start a flex?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could start both Kelce and Ertz.
Oh, if I wanted to. Yeah. But I mean, I didn't take
them. It's the wrong pick. It's the wrong pick, Heath.
So
Adam hates it when people do that. I remember when he got told me what an idiot I was for starting a tight end in a flex that year, and then I won the league.
Well, the problem is when you start a tight end in a flex and you drafted the tight end late, it's one thing. When you take two tight ends with your first three right. picks and you're locking up your flex, that's limiting your roster flex.
You'll hear my receivers, and you'll probably feel that way.
All right, go ahead.
Because of how it unfolded. So I took Gordon, Kelce, and then Kerryon Johnson in the third round. Fourth round, Edelman.
Yeah.
And then fifth round, this is probably the pick I should not have made, but I took Kenyon Drake in the fifth round here, and I probably should have taken a receiver. So then in round six, I took Dante Pettis. Round seven, Rashad Penny. Round eight, Curtis Samuel. So my three receivers are Edelman, Pettis, and Samuel as I'm starting them. And then Geronimo Allison, round nine. Now, I did try to do this, but I got tempted the wrong way because I'm a big Deshaun Hamilton fan. What I intended was to take Allison in round nine and Valdes-Scantling in round 10 and just sort of, okay, I have that guy.
Right.
And then I'm like, well, there's a good chance maybe I get Valdes-Scantling in round 11 and he went in the middle of round 10.
Hmm.
Was he available to you in round 10? You skipped over him and then he went off the board?
Oh, I'm sorry. He went at the end of round 10. So I took Deshaun Hamilton in the middle of round 10 and then
I see.
Valdes-Scantling.
All right. So it's Melvin Gordon and Kerryon Johnson.
My running backs are great. Love my running
back. I'm not sure I understand the Rashad Penny pick if you really needed wide receivers and you already had three running backs at that point.
I didn't like anybody on the board there. So the receivers that were available, I guess you could argue Marvin Jones. But I'm just not a big Marvin Jones guy. I think Rashad Penny could be the best running back in Seattle, and I thought it was good value.
Gordon, so Heath, if we look at the first six picks of each team, mm-hmm. let's see who we like better in a three-receiver PPR league. Hopkins, Smith-Schuster, Keenan Allen, David Montgomery, James White, and Tevin Coleman. Or Melvin Gordon, Travis Kelce, Kerryon Johnson, Julian Edelman, Kenyon Drake, and Dante Pettis. Knowing that Curtis Samuel is going to be his number three receiver.
I didn't listen to anything you just said because I was in my own head thinking about something. So about Jamie's draft, like I was thinking about the Zach Ertz thing again. Because your starting running backs are Melvin Gordon, Kerryon Johnson, and Kenyon Drake.
Mm-hmm.
So Drake's your flex.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had taken Ertz, you would have Drake and Melvin Gordon as your running backs and Ertz mm-hmm. as your flex.
Mm-hmm.
I think Zach Ertz is going to score more fantasy points than Kerryon Johnson this year in PPR.
Yeah, probably so. But I'm also then locked into no flexibility.
That's
with my
exactly
roster.
Right. I mean, that's not the only consideration.
I mean, that's a hope.
Yeah, I mean, fantasy points is not the only consideration. I mean,
I understand the idea of you don't take But we take three running backs with our first three picks sometimes and put a running back into the flex.
But you also have the opportunity to play that guy in the event of there's more likelihood of injury, clearly, at that position.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think, like, if Zach Ertz is there at the end of the third round, I might have to consider it.
So I mean, we could play this out. So I take Kelce in round two. I take Ertz in round three instead of Kerryon Johnson. Edelman is now my first receiver in round four. Round five, Drake.
Your number two running back.
Right. Six is still Pettis, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think anything else changes. Because Drake was your flex when you took him. So the only thing was you took your flex a little bit later.
It's a better team in terms of the starting lineup, but
it's scarier, sure.
But then again, like Kerryon Johnson, if he has the year you have him as a breakout, if he has the year he could have, he's a more valuable player than Zach Ertz.
And I'm probably a little biased in this because I like Kerryon a lot. He's the top 16 back for me, but I have Drake ranked ahead of him, or projected ahead of him. So I'd have no problem having Kenyon Drake as my number two running back.
Yeah, I'm not far behind you on Drake's ranking. So
which team do we like better, though?
Huh?
Which team do we like better?
Oh, I like the receiver start better myself.
I like this team. It's sexy. Well, Melvin Gordon, Kerryon Johnson.
The funny thing is that I was thinking about, I'm like, this is Adam's gonna really like this team.
Yeah, I like it. It's fun.
My only trepidation with taking, forget about the fact that Ertz and Kittle fell to the end of round three. I think in a three receiver league, it's hard to take a tight end early unless you have some things fall your way.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because last year we did the Superflex League, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that league, I don't think, did you have to start a tight end? You did, but it was three receivers plus a super flex and a regular flex, and it really devalued tight ends. And I took Kelce kind of early, and I felt kind of bad about it, but I ended up going to the finals.
Why would that devalue tight ends?
Because there are so many starting spots that, you know, position scarcity just didn't really matter as much. Like, you just want production, basically. Like, tight ends, I don't even remember. Tight ends went super late in that league. A lot of people made tight ends one of their last picks. So, yeah. Well, maybe I'm missing one of the details. This is a really crappy point. Let's read emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. I can do that without screwing up royally. This is from Henry. Subject line, what am I missing? Everyone is drooling over Juju Smith-Schuster and even talking him up, almost comparable to Devontae Adams. For most of Juju's career, he's faced the number two cornerback, or Devontae's faced the number one and has been solid. Why is there such confidence that even with the targets that he may get, that Juju will be able to do anything near to what he did last year when he didn't match up with the top cornerbacks?
It's funny because I would say Devontae Adams is a great comparison of a guy who went from the two to the one and excelled at it.
It's true.
You know, if there's ever a comp,
and he wasn't near as good as the two as Juju was.
Right. You know, so if it's really I don't want to say it's a bad argument against Juju because he's been so good on almost every stopping point, you know, from college to rookie, from rookie to second year, you know, like every measurable he's excelled at. And now the bump in targets, the attention that he'll get from his quarterback, to me offsets everything that the defense will throw at him. Because it's, you know, you could try and take away a side of the field. You can try and take away a guy with, you know, doubles in the red zone. You know, we've seen that with Julio Jones and Calvin Johnson over their careers. But great receivers just make plays, you know. And Roethlisberger is the quarterback who will throw into traffic, who will take chances. They'll scheme up ways to get, you know, bubble screens. They'll put him in the slot. They'll move him around. I mean, he's just got such a high ceiling. You know, and go back through the offseason, you know, Heath, of some of the conversations we've had, you know, where you said you have dial back's projections because you're so excited about what his numbers can be. I think Ben Gretsch said the same thing. It's hard to look at Juju and say that there's not the potential for him to be number one at the position.
Also, don't forget about 2017 when Antonio Brown was out and Juju Smith-Schuster as a rookie was a monster. You know, that is really important. Week 16 and 17 without Antonio Brown. Six catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown on seven targets. Nine catches, 143 yards, and a touchdown on 10 targets. So, you know, that's pretty good. Next,
yeah, he's gonna have some bad games.
Nah.
We're a team just takes him away.
Patriots.
But he's gonna have just some monster games that you're gonna be thrilled to have him on your team.
I don't even know if he's playing the Patriots. Okay, this is from Alan.
The Steelers always play the Patriots.
No, they don't. Well, I mean, they didn't finish the same in their division this year, so I don't know.
Doesn't matter. They always
play.
I hope they do.
The rules. Okay. Alan from a seaside town south of London. Be Shoreham by the sea. I'm sure I didn't say that right. Hey, Adam, Jamie, Dave, and Keith. Are we sure we should be so high on George Kittle? I crunched the numbers, and in 6 games with Jimmy Garoppolo in 2017 and 3 games with Jimmy Garoppolo in 2018, Kittle had 41 targets, 28 catches, 429 yards, and only 1 touchdown. Over 16 games, that's 50 catches, 762 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I don't expect Kittle to be that bad, but is he really a tier 1 tight end under Garoppolo?
It's tough to break it up as much as you probably should if you were going to put together tiers. Like, I do think that there, especially in PPR, is a drop-off between Kelce and Ertz and Kittle. And there's a little bit of risk that with one of the young receivers plus Dante Pettis taking a step means fewer targets for Kittle. But I couldn't put someone else ahead of him. So if you wanted to say that he's a tier 2 tight end, but he's the only one in tier 2, I guess that's fine. But he's right. 3.
But I read this email because it's important that what you're citing here, these numbers, and I'm talking to Alan, of Kittle with Garoppolo, that's mostly 2017. In 2018, he played 3 games with Garoppolo. He had 5 catches for 90 yards on 9 targets at Minnesota. Then he did nothing, 2 catches for 22 yards against Detroit, and then 5 catches for 79 yards on 7 targets at Kansas City. So that's 2 games with 5 catches, 79 or more yards, and 7 or more targets out of 3. So I don't really buy the split. All right, next email.
I think the thing with both Kittle and Ertz, and that I think was reflective in that draft that I did, is that you don't – there are some drawbacks with both those guys because of the additions that they made and just how good they were last year. Like, there's going to be flaws. You know, I guess it kind of goes to, do you draft them as your flex? One of them is your flex.
Right.
Is it better to wait for Ingram, Howard, or Henry in that next wave? In some cases, 3 rounds later.
Right. And just looking at the 2018 games, I will say the one thing that's kind of different, he had like a 23% target share, just under, playing with Garoppolo. For the season, he was at 26.5%, so he's probably closer to 30% without Garoppolo.
But it's 3 games.
Right.
You know, so it's hard to say. And one of those games was a bad one. I don't know that we can draw any conclusions from that. It's not enough, right?
And who knows if Jimmy Garoppolo will play 16 games anyway.
Well, if he does, he's probably going to be the number 1 quarterback in fantasy. Next email is from Matt, somewhere near the home of the NBA champions. Go Raps. Dear Kawhi, Kyle, and Pascal, Siakam, whatever. Those would be three 2018-19 Raptors and only 2 2019-20 Raptors.
Heath, how do you think Adam went this NBA playoffs knowing he was, or before the draft lottery, thinking he's going to get Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Zion, to now getting RJ Barrett?
Oh, you know I'm team RJ Barrett.
Vucevic and
I am team RJ Barrett. He's going to be a better pro than Zion Williamson.
Oh, you said that a long time ago.
Yes, I did.
Terribly wrong then. But
I wouldn't be surprised if he's a better fantasy basketball option.
He's going to be a better pro. He's made for the NBA. Okay. 12-team PPR league. It's an auction league. $200 budget. If I were to stack Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins, quarterbacks usually go for top dollar. What would be good pairings for running back to target? I'm thinking Fournette and some tier 3 wide receivers. So if he spends big on quarterback and wide receiver with Watson and Hopkins, what would you recommend going forward, you know, the rest of the team?
I mean, if you can get that depending on how you tier them, those, you know, 2 of those tier 2, tier 3 running backs, that'd be exceptional.
Yeah, I think guys that will probably be undervalued in that might be Kenyon Drake. might be
Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
Tevin Coleman.
Yeah. And Fournette probably will be too. Like, you can get Fournette and Kenyon Drake.
It's amazing. The sigh is amazing.
But yeah, I think you look at, if you're looking at Fournette, put Fournette, Aaron Jones, Kerryon Johnson. Devontae Freeman probably gets a little overlooked depending on how he does in the preseason.
You ready for some rapid fire keeper questions to end the show? All right. This is from
If we Brett. Said no, what would you have done?
I would have done it myself. Brett, no, I wouldn't have. Don't go anywhere. Brett from City Northwest of Phoenix. 10-team half PPR league. I'm keeping Saquon in the first round. Should I keep Devontae Adams in the second, Travis Kelce in the second, or Aaron Jones in the 13th?
Aaron Jones.
Jim in Philadelphia. Should I keep Robbie Anderson in the 7th round? Is that good value in PPR?
It's probably going to be what his value is.
Right.
Maybe a round off. So if that's your only keeper option, it's fine. But I don't think you – like, I like Robbie Anderson a lot, and I'd probably take him in the 5th round personally. But, you know, if it's, you know, Anderson in the 7th versus and Aaron Jones in the 13th type situation, you lean toward the better value in that scenario.
But if it's a keeper league with multiple keepers, I would rather have Robbie Anderson than a 7th round pick.
Yes.
Okay, and then finally – Zach Ertz or Mike Evans in the 4th round PPR? Who should I keep? This is from Aaron.
Mike Evans.
You think?
I think Mike Evans.
I was going to say, though, like you can find a receiver in the 4th round that may be able to do what Mike Evans does. Can you find, like, I guess we just talked about that. You can find O.J. Howard or Evan Ingram. Yeah. Keep Evans.
Keep Evans. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Heath, have a good vacation.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Heath.
So what day are we doing all these things?
Well, we'll definitely have a show on Thursday.
Yeah, got to go back.
And maybe on Wednesday. Bye.